The running time for Rainhamcast podcast number 68 is 14 minutes 50 seconds, with a 10-second break for ID at 9 minutes 37 seconds. There are 10-second timer resets at 2, 45, 5, 40, 12, 27. This is Rainhamcast podcast number 68, hosted May 28th, 2022. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR.
In 1964, Voice of America decided to go to Collins and have them manufacture these 821A1s. This is a 250 kilowatt AM broadcast shortwave transmitter.
Thus began a virtual presentation voiced by Dennis Kidder, W6DQ, given during the August 2020 Ham Radio Expo. Dennis is a published author speaker and a director and secretary for the Collins Collectors Association, CCA. We have two excerpts from Dennis's virtual talk. Here's our first.
I'm Dennis Kidder, W6DQ, and we're located in my ham shack in the California high desert behind me. There's a lot of gear back there from Collins Radio Company. This is a story about a transmitter that was manufactured by Collins back in the 1960s. It was the largest commercial shortwave broadcast transmitter that Collins ever built. It was commissioned by the Voice of America. We'll talk a little bit about the Voice of America, but first I want to tell you a little bit about the Collins Collectors Association. Collins Collectors Association is dedicated to the preservation, restoration, and operation of Collins radio equipment. When the Voice of America decommissioned one of their stations, we were fearful of the equipment ending up in a landfill. We made an effort to recover one of the transmitters and find it a location for it to go on display. So in conjunction with the Antique Wireless Association, we were able to recover this transmitter and put it in their museum for all to see. We'll talk a little bit about the Voice of America, what they are, and we'll move on from there, talk a little bit about the transmitter and then how we went about recovering it and transporting it back to the museum in New York. Many of you probably started as shortwave listeners, listening to the Voice of America. I know I did as a kid. Voice of America was great to listen to, but didn't really understand what they were all about as a kid. Later on in life, I understood what their whole role was and all. So we're talking about what is properly known as DL8 at Delano Relay. Delano Relay, Voice of America relay station here in California. We'll talk a little bit about more about that station here shortly. But let's talk about what the Voice of America is all about. Voice of America is the official United States federal government external broadcast entity. In other words, they are broadcasting material that is destined for non-domestic consumption, so in other words, overseas. They operate under what is called the United States Agency for Global Media, and VOA is one of five civilian U.S. international broadcasters, the others being Radio Free Europe, also Radio Liberty, Radio and TV Marti, Radio Free Asia, and the Middle East Broadcasting Networks. They provide programming on radio, television, as well as on the internet, and they produce in excess of 1,800 hours weekly in 47 different languages, including English. Their estimated global weekly audience is more than 278 million people. Big audience. And they still have 19 major transmitting sites located worldwide. Let's talk about some of their facilities. Shortwave and medium wave broadcast facilities. Greenville, North Carolina, the Edward R. Murrow Transmitting Facility. There are several other shortwave and medium wave broadcast transmitting facilities located off the coast of Western Africa on the island of Sao Tome. And as luck would have it, it's right next to Radio Moscow. I always got a kick out of that. But there were a lot of former sites, the relay sites, which is primarily what we're focusing on here, the relay sites. Bethany Relay near Cincinnati, Ohio. Delano Relay, which is what we're going to talk about today, located in Central California, the Central Valley between the cities of Bakersfield and Fresno. And lastly, the Dixon Relay, which is located near Sacramento, farther north in the Central Valley. But they also had transmitting facilities overseas in Hawaii, Okinawa, Liberia, Costa Rica, and Belize. These are all gone now, unfortunately. In fact, all the relays are gone, but not forgotten, but they're off the air. but something still exists there. And we're going to go into that a little bit more. So let's talk a little bit more about the history of the VOA. On shortwave, they started as Voices from America during World War II. They went on the air February 1st, 1942. But since 1942, of course, there's been a huge impact on technology with broadcasting. You notice a lot of the shortwave broadcasters are leaving the air. They're all going away. The internet and satellite have taken their place. As this equipment aged, of course, one of the big problems was procuring spare parts. They started cannibalizing some of the other sites as they shut down to be able to keep Delano on the air. Delano was the last to shut down. So the proliferation of the internet has had a big effect on this. But their broadcast services, I mentioned Salto Bay and I mentioned Greenville, those stations still exist. They still broadcast on medium wave into Africa. But like I said, much of the other shortwave broadcasters are gone. And if you're into shortwave listening, you know what I mean by that. A lot of them are going away. Now, their internet services are kind of interesting. Voice of America was the first entity to have a broadcast news organization on the internet in 1994. And of course, back then, they were still doing English and 46 other languages, as they are today. But today, they have 20,000 servers located in 71 different countries. To me, that's a staggering number. So let's talk a little bit more about Delano. Delano was really one of the last transmitting stations, HF and medium wave transmitting stations with Voice of America. This building was constructed originally in 1944 in May. They broke ground. They started constructing the first antennas, which were a rhombic that was up 170 feet in the air. And by November 1944, so get that, May to November, they built this station and they were on the air with that first 170-foot rhombic. This was the first of the three relay sites that they built. The others I mentioned in Dixon and Bethany, of course. The Voice of America established a receive site a short ways up the road in the little town of Pixley. And I laugh every time I hear that name, thinking of an old TV show. But that was their receive site. And they would receive program material from their studios in Washington, D.C. Now, typically, that material was sent via the Bell system over landline, microwave relay links, all from the East Coast out here to the West Coast. The Delano site was shut down on October 27th, 2007, their last transmission at 8:30 that evening. It was a scheduled program, and it was on 5890 kilohertz in Thai. This was, again, relay. So this wasn't meant as directed broadcast. This was sent from the studios in D.C. to the relay station and out to another broadcast facility typically located in Asia. So this was an intermediate stop. What's sad is there was no special observance after 63 years of continuous service. Nothing was done special. It's like everybody just packed up and walked away. That's the way we found it. So in the early days, they moved from transcription turntables using LP records, vinyl, to reel-to-reel tape decks in later years. So they would receive the material, record it, either on transcription or on reel-to-reel, and then retransmit through the relay to their sites overseas. In the early days, they had a single 200-kilowatt Federal transmitter. They had three RCA 50-kilowatt transmitters. They later added two 100-kilowatt General Electric transmitters. These were eventually replaced with some other transmitters. We'll talk about that in a second, but I want to talk about what happens next. In 1964, Voice of America decided to go to Collins and have them manufacture these 821A1s. This is a 250 kilowatt AM broadcast shortwave transmitter. So following the shutdown of Delano, Voice of America transferred all that property over to the Government Services Administration, GSA. And that was a roughly 800-acre parcel out there at Delano with all the transmitting facilities, antennas, all of that. That goes to the GSA. Now, at that time, the GSA was seeking a new owner for the property. They'd been contacting the city of Delano. Delano was looking at it to maybe build an airport or low-income housing on the property, something. The Dixon site had been sold, and the Bethany site had been turned into the VOA Museum. And hopefully some of you have had a chance to go and visit that and see the VOA Museum. It's quite nice.
You're listening to a virtual talk by Dennis Kidder, W6DQ, telling the story about the 821-1A, the largest commercial shortwave broadcast transmitter Collins ever built, commissioned by the VOA, Voice of America. We'll continue this 2020 Ham Radio Expo virtual presentation after you ID your station. This is RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Rain Hamcast on the rainreport.com and on the Rain Report page on YouTube.
GSA was having problems getting rid of this site. Turns out that the California Department of Fish and Game found an endangered species living on the property and therefore put a halt to any demolition going on. So they couldn't knock down the towers. They can't knock down the building. So it's saved from the landfill for the moment. But there's still that threat. So folks from the Collins Collectors Association decided to try and do something about it. This is Jim Stitzinger, WA3CEX, and Bill Carnes, N70TQ, who were officers of the association at the time. But these guys are longtime members of CCA, Collins Collectors Association. So they came up with an idea one night over dinner to try to obtain one of the 821A1 transmitters and put it in a museum. And the thought was to either display it at the Collins Museum in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, or possibly at the AWA, I mentioned the Antique Wireless Association. Well, after much bartering with the GSA, they eventually agreed to allow the CCA to extract one of the transmitters. But they levied conditions, and the conditions are fun, because the transmitter had to be off the site within 2 weeks of start. Yikes. And, oh, it has to be on display in the museum within 18 months. So, yeah, we had a little bit of a daunting task to be able to accomplish all of this. So let's start talking about that transmitter a little bit. This is a pretty amazing piece of hardware, Collins Radio. Why is this such a daunting task? Well, the transmitter and power supply weigh 50,000 pounds, roughly. That's not counting all the audio gear, all the control systems and all that that go along with it. We got to move this thing. Now, it's clearly not going to be on the air, and we're not going to move all the bits and pieces of that 50,000 pounds, but we're going to move a big chunk of it. The transmitter takes up roughly 400 square feet of floor space, and the power supply, according to Collins literature, 250 square feet, but I'll tell you, it was in a much bigger room than that. It had its own room. Imagine a power supply that you can actually walk inside of. All of the cooling equipment's located on the second floor of the facility. Each transmitter, and there's three of them at the site, each transmitter uses four 100,000C vapor phase cooled tetrodes. This is a 100,000 watt vapor phase cooled, meaning that that tube sits in a pot of water. And when it gets hot, the water boils. The steam goes off to a condenser, which is located up on the second floor of the building. It's returned back down as cooled water and continues the cycle. Each of those tubes runs at 17,500 volts at 15 amps. Oh, that's a lot of power. What makes this transmitter unique for the time? 250 kilowatt transmitter, meaning if you figure the peak power out is roughly four times the carrier power, 250 kilowatts is the carrier power. So this is a megawatt transmitter. They're peaking at 1 megawatt out. This is an auto-tuned transmitter. Why is that important? Well, think about this. This period of time, 1964, this is in the middle of the Cold War. We're waging a propaganda war with the former Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc. And they spent a lot of time and a lot of energy jamming our transmissions. Think about this. Auto-tune transmitter that can have full coverage from 3.95 to 26.5 megacycles and it tuned to full output in 20 seconds. A conventional broadcast transmitter being used at the time probably would take at least 10 to 25 minutes and upwards of an hour to change to another frequency. So being able to move to a new frequency to counteract the jamming going on was a big advantage for the Voice of America. So Collins really scored on this one, 20 second to full output. Pretty remarkable.
This concludes the first of two excerpts from a virtual 2020 Ham Radio Expo talk given by Dennis Kidder, W6DQ, published author, speaker, and a director and secretary of the Collins Collectors Association, CCA. We'll bring you the conclusion to Dennis's 821-A1 presentation next time. Rain founder Hap Holly, KC9RP, edits and produces this bi-weekly ham radio hamcast without monetization. Your support and feedback are welcome on the rainreport.com and via PayPal. Rain programming is made available under a Creative Commons license. You are encouraged to download, share, post and transmit the Rain Hamcast in its entirety via amateur radio. Thanks to Tom Shimizu, N9JDI, for his assistance with the Rain Report channel on YouTube. Rain Hamcast podcast number 69 will post June 11th, 2022. The Radio Amateur Information Network is copyright 1985-2022 Rain. All rights reserved. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, Very 73, from the Rain Hamcast podcast. Keep on hamming!